Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every Thursday at 7 p.m., and we are the show that addresses all of your business needs. We do it from strategy to operations to leadership, and we even talk about your health, the health of your business, and even as you, as a employee or a business owner, the entrepreneur. So every Thursday we have a guest, and I never do this alone. I am the co-host. My co-host is with me here. Let them know you're here, Lori.
Hello, everybody. It's Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design, and I'm so excited. We have one of my favorite people on tonight. So I met Nancy in Las Vegas, and she is a medium, but she's more than a medium. So Nancy takes you on a personal journey to help you understand who you are, your purpose, and try and get you out of your own way. So as an entrepreneur, we always want to know our purpose and how to do this. So Nancy, thank you for joining us, and I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you, Lori. It's so cool to be talking to you again. And hey, Ted, because we talked about a little earlier. How you doing?
Absolutely. How are you? Thanks for joining
us. I'm good. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so my about me, I don't know where to start. If anyone is on the computer, you could look up angelscapes.net. It's angelscapes.net and just read while I talk. But I call myself an Akashic medium, and what I do is I talk to your soul. I listen to the language of your soul, and I really try to help you learn to listen to the language of your soul. And once you are kind of listening and hearing that, what you were asking, is it just you or is there a higher power? There's definitely a higher power. There's definitely a higher self, and that's your soul. And sometimes in life we have mismatches, and I help people figure out the mismatches in their lives, so that they can move in the direction that they want to, that the direction that makes them happy and brings a sense of well-being around them. So the mediumship part is that I do talk to people on the other side, and sometimes in doing this work, we can have people come in, mom, dad, grandparents, even children, that help us know what life's about. And I like to prove the continuity of life through my mediumship work, so it helps people to understand that what we're doing now goes on, and that kind of thing. How am I doing telling myself about myself? Lori,
you're doing fine.
You're doing great.
So,
you're doing
Lori,
perfect.
So, Lori, I read for you and your mom, and you guys were, I loved reading for you, and you guys had, you did beautifully. And you had a lot of really good feedback. And your mother especially had a really cool experience. So, and
yes.
I don't know if she was used to that kind of thing, if this was new to her, but kind of what changed for her after we worked?
Yeah, so it was very new. And I think, I have friends who are mediums, and, we're all pretty psychic on some level. But the way that you read is so different from everybody else. And I have to share that you drew a picture while you were talking to my mom of my dad, which was actually a year ago tomorrow. And the picture was so real and so lifelike, and I carry it with me all the time because it was super special. And I think it helped my mom, as well, to know that he's in a good place,
right.
And he's much better where he is than where he was. And that he's still looking out for her. So that's huge. So it's interesting
good.
How you read versus how, and we all have our own skill set and our own special path. So I know that plays into it as well.
Oh, definitely. And I love that you said we are all intuitive. We all have something. And we're all designed to have something. We're meant to have that higher connection. I think our culture gets in the way and says, you have to think it through, you have to push through, you have to know it all. I'm like, no. No. You step back and let the flow of your soul, of your intuition, and your higher sense, of your sense of things. It's about learning to trust yourself in a new way. Lots of times, there's a lot of skill building out there for building your intuition, and when you start trusting yourself, your intuition is really about connecting to your soul and higher power. And it opens up businesses, it opens up relationships, it opens up heals family drama. And when you get a sense of what your soul's here to learn and explore, it's always a surprise that people always say to me, it's never what I think it is, and that's exactly true. It's never what you think it is.
It's never what you think it is. So would you want to take people on a little bit of a journey of how you work?
Sure. The first thing that I do in any session is to set up sacred space. And I open up what I call the Akashic Records, which is basically the essence of the creator and that higher power. So we're working in a place where we're surrounded by that higher power. And it helps me and the person I'm working with to be on the same page, so we're not fighting each other. There's a calmness that happens. And then we work on intention. What do you want to experience in this session? They're not that long. And what would you like to take a look at? And if it's a mediumship session, of course, we know we go right ahead and work with mediumship, which is I blend in with those that are on the other side who are around you, who want to speak and who want to give you messages. And then I will draw them as we connect with them and then, you know, that kind of thing. And then sometimes the intention is different. People want to, what's my soul telling me, or what is happening in my life, or I'm struggling with this and I've been struggling with this XYZ for a really long time. So as we open up sacred space, we open up the Akashic Records. It's like I'm a medium of the soul. We bring the soul in to start to say, here's what my dream is for you. And also I bring in angels and guides that are personally yours, as well as working with my guides. So that's a higher thinking, a higher level. So sometimes things will come through me that, you know, I could stand listening to hear, but things come through me that are from another place and that are very appropriate for you personally. And I might not even know what that is, but as I get the higher guidance, I wanted to talk about a little bit between the difference of being psychic and being a medium. So I work for more from the medium work, and I'm connecting either to a soul or to a spirit guide or to a loved one, and they're talking to me. I do have intuitive and psychic abilities. They've grown over the years as I worked with the mediumship. Of course, you have to have those skills to do the mediumship. But I'm not necessarily sitting and reading in a session you and all the things about you or seeing your future. What I'm doing is listening to your soul tell you, if you continue to go on this path, this XYZ could happen, but you have another choice. Oh, and then here are some of the things that are blocking you. Here's your fears. Here's your belief systems. Here's your trigger points. And here's where you're sabotaging yourself. And so we learn to integrate. That's a big word in my session. Integrate what's happened in our lives up to now and what we're happy with, what we're not happy with, and into your soul, what your soul wants you to know. So how do you bridge those gaps? We do some past life work sometimes, and we do soul contract work, which is basically your soul has something it wants to achieve and we misunderstand it, or we've been misunderstanding it for a number of years because the translation gets lost, you know, at birth, I swear to God. And so we have trauma in our life that's meant to steer us in a certain point, but we go in the wrong direction. So they create vows. They create things that this is what you should, the big shoulds. And so we look at the shoulds and we try to let them go and see and bring them to a higher essence. Everything that you feel, everything that you know to be true has a higher essence and has a higher message. And so the integration is you accept the fear, you accept the belief, you accept where you are, and then in sacred space, in, you know, with your guides and with Source, I'm a big proponent of learning to live your life from Source rather than living your life through fear. You open it up. You see what that that higher message is. You know, and that's the trick. That's the big thing. Yeah,
it's a huge thing.
Is it fair to say that people are often looking to solve problems. Like, I guess you could say technically you offer a service, right? So, you know, companies, individuals offer a product or service. So what kinds of problems are people generally looking to solve when they come to you?
Well, generally, they have a sense of something's missing or something's not quite right, or I keep making the same mistakes over and over again and I just never feel good about my life. And that can be in family relationships, it can be in career, it can be in romantic relationships, it could be in jobs. I keep getting the wrong job. I never get along with my boss. It could be a lot of different things. I don't trust myself. A lot of times people will come in after they've lost a relationship or a career and they have to rebuild their lives and they don't know where to start. And those are the umbrella of what I talk with. And I talk a lot with people about you have a soul's appointment here. You're meant to change the direction and now you're changing the direction. Here's how can begin to do things differently instead of doing things the same way. So it's basically, I think, what everybody's kind of struggling with. Right now, people are really struggling with what's going to happen in the future because my life doesn't look like it did last year, and I'm not sure it's ever going to look like it did last year. What do I do now? And so I have a lot of those questions coming up. I can't do it the way I used to do it. I feel really lost. And those are the people I walk through. And a lot of times people will present it, and I offer multiple sessions because I do the readings, and those are assessments, and we'll go through the readings. And what people are presenting isn't necessarily the core of what they're experiencing. So we need that assessment time. We need that reading time to get to the core of it. But what do you do with that? Many people have come to me and said, well, the psychic told me this and this and this and this, and I can totally see what the psychic says, but they don't have the skills or the wherewithal to move forward with what they know to be true now. So that's the next step. I'll offer intensives or I offer multiple sessions where they're no longer readings, but they're skill building from a spiritual place, really learning to listen to your soul, trust yourself. We do clearings. We do facing your fears. We do all kinds of fun things, talking to your inner people, your inner scaredy cats and your inner protectors or your inner critics, to see where they're sabotaging you or where they're helping you and you don't realize it. Or we grow up the inner child that's been having a blown-out temper tantrum for about 15 years, and we see what is really happening here, and we give that child a chance to walk into that sacred space to say, this is what I'm afraid of, this is where I've been hurt, and then we say, would you like to, you know, have some help here? Would you like to grow? Would you like to develop? And we don't want to change ourselves, but we want to integrate ourselves. That is So that's kind of how I work, and the products that I offer are first the beginning of the assessment, and if people feel that they can relate to the assessment and what they've heard from me, then we start to work. Then we really go to work and start opening up that door to success and happiness.
That's okay. Very cool.
Go ahead, Lori.
Go ahead, Jen. Nope, you go. We do that all the time. We trip each other up. So I
hear two things. One is people have patterns that repeat themselves, like, so there's like a cycle. And then you have these what people call black swans. Are you familiar with that book?
No, tell me, what's the black swans? And I've got a whole image in my head, and I'm thinking I know, but I don't know what you mean. So what are you talking about?
Okay. I have the book, but I forget the author. I think he's Middle Eastern, but he wrote this book, Black Swans, and sort of the premise is in Europe, before they explored the world, there was a scientific fact that said all swans are white, and that's it. That was a fact of life, scientific proof. Every swan they had ever seen in Europe and Asia, Africa, all white. They go to Australia and poof, there's a black swan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was an unexpected event that they couldn't account for. So the guy who wrote the book, he talked about things like the World Trade Center was a black swan, you know, and how it affected stock markets and economies. Like, you could not have predicted that and prepared for it. It just came out of nowhere, just like the black swan came out of nowhere. So you could say COVID-19, and I know some people will debate that, but you could say COVID-19 is a black swan. You know, we clearly were not prepared for that when we look at the country, the world, right? So I'm saying that on one hand, you help people with things that are patterns that repeat, and they may not be able to see how the pattern repeats, except it's easier to get someone to recognize a pattern they continue doing and get out of it. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you have the black swans, where they just couldn't see it coming, right? So that seems
different. Well, see, what I want to tell you right now is what you've done is you've created a whole paradigm of what I call material science, or not what I call, what I've heard called material science, where we're basing the science on what we see and what we know, and what we see and what we know as human beings, we know, is very limited. So the black swans are no surprise. Like, for instance, 2016, I saw the virus coming, and I saw the mindset that needed to be changed, and I saw that people had to make some decisions in their lives, and that this was going to force them to do that. And so, as a, you know, looking from a big perspective, an Akashic perspective or shamanic perspective, those black swans already exist. We already know they're there, who are not using their intuition or are living with just this, what I see is what is. Then they're really surprised when something comes up that totally knocks their socks off. And it's really important that we get our socks knocked off, because the purpose of that is so that we can start to engage with life in a fuller capacity, to know that, there's more than just what I see around me. If you study the science and religion going from the 16th, 17th, 18th century, science is all over the map on what science is. And spiritual practice and religion is all over the map. And there's nothing steady in it, because everyone's trying to figure out stuff. Like, think of as based on what they're seeing in the moment. Now think about, you know, the plagues back, you know, in the 1600s, you know, in the 1500s. And they were thinking that people needed to be, you know, they were doing those hair shirts and whipping themselves because this must be sin and we have to purge out the sin. You know, they didn't know about germs. You see what I'm saying? So your premise of the black swan, where it's a very beautiful one, and I love it very, very much, the Akashic record, the spirit, the soul already knows, it's already there. So opening up to being willing to be flexible to see something other than what's in front of you is exactly what I do, my work.
Well, so when the actual, you know, what the book is titled after, the actual event of seeing the black swan for the first time, that's a perfect example of the black swan always existed. Just because you didn't know about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think some people are challenged by that notion. When you put something on the table, they're like, well, I've never heard of that, so I don't see that as being real. Just because you don't know doesn't invalidate its existence. So, you know, the black swan.
Right. I love that. Thanks for bringing up the story of the black swan. I mean, some of us are black swans all along. we're just not even recognized. The thing that people do is amazing. I don't want to know this, so therefore I won't see you. So therefore I just won't even interact with you. So therefore it won't exist and I'll be fine. And I've run into that several times. And it can be very painful for somebody who is the black swan and nobody wants to see you. And that kind of thing. But then all of a sudden it shows up. It's like, oh, there you are. And I can't overlook you now. You're right there in front of me. And which is a moment, a milestone. That's a soul level milestone when that happens. It's very important to acknowledge it. It's very important to embrace it and face it, and don't let it disappear. You know, again, you know, don't, you know, it disappears because your mind makes it disappear. Keep looking at it and keep playing with it. You know,
and that's, well, actually, I heard something else in what you just said. So one is, you know, there are black swan events, and I get it. For you, you saw the black swan coming in 2016, a mindset needed to change, except the overwhelming majority of people wouldn't have access to that kind of knowledge or understanding, right? So, for the average person, it's the black swan. Now, what you also said, sometimes you can be the black swan, right? So what if you're dealing with a client and they're the black swan? Let me give you exactly what I mean. So if you're the person who is, maybe it's someone like you, right? Someone who has access to knowledge that's not the average, and most people think you don't exist, right? So that would make you a black swan, because people may think, well, I can't do it, therefore no one else can do it, and I've never heard of someone doing it. So how do you navigate that, right? So we have two questions. How do you navigate being someone that doesn't exist in the minds of most? And two, when you have a client that is in the same, like black swan, and they may have their own expertise, and people just don't see it as possible. Hey,
well,
Lori, is that
yeah,
you?
Right.
Hold on. There's
no,
paper. All right,
yeah,
so there's
a
lot of rustling of paper.
774. Ted, we have someone on the line from 774, so it may be that.
Okay, you must have let them
use
into the call. Okay.
I did.
All right, so let's 774, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. We can hear you. It sounds like you have commotion. Do you have a question that you would like to ask?
No, I don't have a question. I'm sorry. I'm just listening. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
All right. No,
that's,
you're
quite
fine.
Quite all right.
Lori, just
thank you
just
for
keep
listening.
Her on hold,
I'm going to mute. Got
yep,
it.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
So go ahead.
So
I'll assume. Yep. So I'm asking you as a black swan, or a client that's a black swan, and you're both in this world and people think you don't exist, yet you have something phenomenal or extraordinary to offer the world.
So we wouldn't
people
recognize each other. It's awesome, and we cry and we hug each other and go, oh, my God, I know what you're talking about. And so there's a book, Judith Arloff, called An Empath Survival Guide, and she has a beautiful story. And I've seen this story play out so many times where the empaths, the sensitives in the world, especially in our culture, are not really loved or accepted or appreciated, but it's the sensitives in the world that are going to change the world. So let's step back, though. Those sensitives are, they're diagnosed with mental illness, borderline personalities, that there's something wrong with them. They're put on medications. They're told that they need to straighten up and fly right. They tremendous amount of therapy trying to get them to understand the world. So sometimes when I get somebody who has gone through that, and I recognize, and they recognize that I've gone through, and say, you're okay. You have another way of looking at life, and it's just as valid as everybody else. You don't have to be like everybody else. You can be you. You be you, and we'll work together in finding a way to build skills that help you blossom, but also help protect you from recover or heal from the trauma that you have gone through. I kind of want to just remind you that we have that humanity has a tremendous history of burning witches alive or hanging witches or recognizing somebody who is sensitive. And this comes way back from the history of when I feel like it was religion or the Catholic Church or whatever church wanted, or Protestant, whatever, wanted to own the people, wanted to own their minds. And the indigenous practices, especially in Europe country, by the Europeans when they came here, wiped out. And those practices were developed on an intuitive connection to the earth, to their souls, to the higher power. And that has been systematically wiped out over hundreds and hundreds of years. So we still exist. We're still here and finding our feet, finding our voice, finding ourselves to be strong enough to create safety around us to step out and say what we need to say. I have to say, these are the people who are going to have the right ideas or the guidance or the creative ideas. Let's put that right ideas. I don't like right and wrong. The creative ideas that will lead us into where humanity needs to go next. So when I see a black swan, I just want to keep them under my armpit and I just want to love them to death and say, I know what you're talking about. You know? But how do I deal with when I'm not seen? It's just been a long, long life. Even still, you know, as I do my practices, I step out and say things and work with people. It's helping people find the courage within themselves to see that part of themselves and accept it and love it and know that it's probably the most powerful part of themselves of all time. That makes
sense. Well, it could be an attorney, right, or an engineer, an architect, a scientist. It could be someone who, you know, when Albert Einstein spoke about the theory of relativity, I think only like less than five people even understood what he was talking about. So,
right.
You know, when you do things like that and people are like, you know, what is this person talking about? It doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. And people tend to invalidate it if they don't understand it. Well, if it doesn't make sense to me, it's not reality, so I ignore it. And now in the theory of relativity is taught in high school, so.
I know. It's amazing. Even Charles Darwin and all that. And even Charles Darwin, they're starting to think, well, maybe he wasn't quite right, but he really had a great idea. There's a story from the 1400s. This church decided a certain group, and then there was a scientist that went along with it, that decided that meteors do not exist, and they never, and there's nothing that could possibly come down from heaven that would be, it's not a God thing. You know, they just really, and they collected all the meteors, and they got rid of them. There was a massive collections, but the thing of it is, there was this church that was built around this giant meteor, and so they didn't know what to do. So they pretended it wasn't there until, you know, maybe 100 years later, they said, well, maybe meteorites do exist and maybe rocks can come from heaven. And so this whole's gone for and put underground for hundreds of years. And I have to say, out of fear or out of power or somebody wanted to be smarter than somebody else, so they made up a bunch of stuff. That's not going on right now, though, is it? So you make up a bunch of stuff and you say, this is what's true. It's like the emperor has no clothes. And I was afraid to say, well, really, you have no clothes except for the little boy. So so the empaths, the black swans are the ones that say, the emperor really doesn't have any clothes on. And there are a lot more people coming forward to say what they're seeing, that they're seeing a being pricked, and they're getting their courage up to say, here's what I see. And it's coming in very subtle forms and one-on-one and one person kind of influences another person, and that person says, you know, I can see what you're talking about, because they're plugging into the truth and the flow of life, the actual, you know, natural law of what's happening, instead of making stuff up, you know. But it takes, we have agreements that we make with one another. And that's one of the things I do in my work, is I help people to see what agreement did you make so that you would not see, take a family with an alcoholic in it. Sometimes everyone agrees not to see the alcoholism in the family. And so don't you talk about it ever. So it becomes a secret right in front of you, hence the elephant in the room that nobody sees. And we have these agreements. We constantly make these agreements as a society. Racism is an agreement. You see what I mean? And it's subtle, and we don't recognize it. We don't see it, and it's very difficult, very painful to pull it out and say, that's what that is right there. And that's an agreement that you made with everybody around you to the point where you just do it automatically like it's a real thing. Do you know? You see what I'm saying? These are the things that we need to see what are we agreeing to that's not real.
So people are co-conspiring with one another, right? So,
in a collectively unconscious way.
Okay.
And bringing into awareness is very, very painful, and it's very difficult, and it's very much a challenge to bring. That's what enlightenment is really about, is being aware of where you are and what direction you're pointing and what are your resources and who you really are, remembering who you are as a person, as a human, and as a soul, spirit.
Okay. Lori,
did I just go off
a
track
something?
Here? Say that again?
You were going to say something?
Me?
I mean, it makes sense what we're talking about.
No,
yeah,
I'm following you, but I heard Lori. I thought she was going to say something, and I wanted to make sure that wasn't.
No, actually, I don't. Yeah, I didn't say anything, so yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, Nancy.
It's fine. No, throw some questions at me. I go off on these soapbox things. I don't know where I'm going. I just went, you know, down Turtle Lane here. So.
Just on a few tangents, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was going to ask earlier about your drawings because we talked about that. I've seen them posted on your Facebook. How does I? Because your drawings are amazing, right? I'd love to know how you kind of visualize that, how it comes to you, what you see. You know, were you an art major at one point? Like, how does that occur?
So, yes, I was an art major at one point, and my senior project in college was portraiture. And in anatomy and facial anatomy are always really important to me, and I kind of deviated, so I wasn't traditional. But in any event, so then I go ahead and I became a designer and book stuff and a book designer and more graphic designer and more creative. And then one day, jumping ahead, my intuition came on real strong when my kids came. And this is how I opened up, is that my kids were at a daycare provider, a little home, and her brother-in-law was shot and killed. And they brought the car into their driveway where the kids were playing, and she broke into tears. It was full of bullet holes. And she said, "Can you go and fix that car up so my husband doesn't come home to see that?" So she watched my kid. I'm going collecting all the papers and bottles and, you know, the mess that the police made out of it and all that. You know, and when I touched everything, this whoever that passed came and just kind of hung with me for like a good 2 weeks. And I went home, and I just felt really weird. And I had my drawing. I was sketching. I was actually trying to do some portraits of, you know, people's kids. That's kind of a whole business I was doing. And I was looking at this paper, and all of a sudden, this face started coming up out of the paper, a face that I didn't recognize and didn't know. And I still had this weird feeling of, like, God, this guy was just shot and killed. What if that was a, you know, and I'm like, what is this face? So I started to sketch the face around the face that was coming up like a shadow. So I sketched around it, and then I did like five or six of them. And then I brought them to my friend. I said, "Do you know any of these people?" I'm just like guessing. And she broke into tears. Mm-hmm. She recognized all of them. And she said, and then one of them she picked up, and she said, "I knew this was the man who did it. I knew he did it. Do you know he had the audacity to come to my house last night? And he was standing there, and here you drew his face." And she was really, it was very emotional. And it was like it blew my socks off, and I had no training, didn't know what I was doing. And then I started to get scared of it, walked away from it. I kept walking back and forth into it and out of it. And then I studied spiritualism, which really teaches the religion of spiritualism, teaches a lot of really good mediumship skills and trains a lot of really good mediums. So I did the training. And the drawing started, how I was shown the drawing started to change. So at this point, then I started seeing the images in my mind, and then I was drawing what I saw in my mind. Now I don't see any images at all, and I take the charcoal or the pencil, and I just know where I have to go on the page. And I just let it flow. And if I try to design the page, I get myself into trouble. But if I just let the pencil go, and maybe it doesn't look the way I like it to look, spirit always comes through and somebody say, "I know what that is." And one time I had a drawing, and I really, it was driving me nuts because I couldn't get the face to line up, and one eye was different than the other eye, and one was a stroke. I was just like, "Gosh, this is terrible," and I just wanted to give this woman her money back. So she looked at the drawing, and she said it was her 11-year-old son had passed, and she was devastated. And her question over and over again was, "Who helped my son pass over? Who was with him? he must have been so lost. So we looked at the drawing, and I said, wait a minute. And I covered one half of the thing up. It looked just like her son. And then I covered the other half.
Oh, wow.
Like her
wow.
father. And her father wow. said, oh, my God, your father's the one who took him to the other side. Your father's with him. And that was such great validation, so much comfort for her. And if I had tried to design that into looking like a good face, we would never have had that experience. So that's kind of how the drawing works. I really have
that's
to.
Real.
Yeah.
That's really
crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now let's say people are trying to get in touch with their own, you know, soul or doing their own soul work. Are there any exercises or things you would suggest for them to be able to kind of get there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Can they do things on their own?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I have on my website, it's free, it's a download, you just click on it, 7 Steps to Soul Power Living. So you can go to angelscapes.net and this, you'll find the little 7 steps, little book, 7 Steps to Soul Power Living. Click on it and it'll be a downloadable PDF, but then I send you emails describing each step. Now, the thing of it is like to, first thing you need to do is trust yourself. And connect to your soul, trust your intuition, and trust your well-being. So when we go towards our heart's desire and our well-being, I don't mean comfort ourselves because we're scared. I mean just really what works for me so that the practice of gratitude starts. And then when you have that practice of gratitude, you start to feel like this is what makes me happy, and this does not make me happy. So when I'm with in this realm here, and I start to have a sense of well-being in my life, I'm starting to make choices that make me feel safe. I start to trust myself in my own choices. And then our soul starts to talk to us. The more we love ourselves, the more our soul starts to come. Love and nurture. I'm not talking about having a bad habit. I love myself, so I'll eat a bag of chocolate. That's not what I'm talking about. But when we bring ourselves into a place of well-being, meditation can help. And a lot of people have trouble meditating. So somehow you got to start with a connection to something in your life that makes you feel good and small. And once you trust yourself and you have that flow and you begin to make choices that align yourself to well-being, then you start to think, life's not so bad, life is good. And your soul and your mind starts to look for those things that are good for you, that are right for you, and your soul backs it up by encouraging you to go even further. So you're in a relationship now between your higher power, your soul, and your search for your well-being. So they're no longer at odds with you. You no longer have this mismatch in your world. And then you get more and more courageous. And as you relax with this courage, creativity can eventually, the tipping point is your creativity starts to flow. And you start to realize, you know, hey, wait a minute. I don't have to do it that way. How about with this other way? I know it's always been there, but you know what? What about this other way? You start to have the courage to go in that different way. So you see it's an unfoldment.
Right.
And then the highest point is really realizing that you are in relationship with your higher power, with your soul, and it's not so scary, and you're not struggling with it. You're not trying to make it happen. You're simply in that flow. Right? So there's I like to listen to Abraham Hicks, have you heard of?
Yeah.
Abraham.
Esther Hicks.
Yeah, Abraham and Esther Hicks is the channel for really awesome teachings on how to get into that flow. So
they're very good at
my,
that.
Oh my gosh, they really, really are. And so that's kind of how I see the unfoldment of stepping into a relationship with your soul and having a soul power or the power of your soul, you're making new choices. You're all of a sudden you realize that I don't have to stay in this job. I can leave and then wait a minute, why don't I just call this person over here? Synchronicity starts to happen and all of a sudden you have a really good plan for how to leave your job and still be financially abundant. And that's,
Sounds like also doing those exercises, it's training your brain to be able to see new perspectives and sometimes completely new paradigms.
Right, because our brain's a computer. So what we train our brain to see, that's what our brain's going to see. And it starts formulating its programs when we're tiny, since we're born, and what how our parents interact with us, how our siblings, what number we are in our family. And we have, this is how life works. And then at some point you go, this is how life works, but I'm really unhappy with it. Now you got to retrain your brain and really look at your belief systems. And what is those belief systems are telling you, and they're usually not telling you the truth. And which is crazy to say that, because you were relying on yourself for knowing common sense. It's supposed to be,
that,
you know,
right,
lead
exactly.
through, and your common sense has just got lies all over it. So,
exactly.
And so your brain will change if you change your thoughts. If you feed from your heart, feed new thoughts into your brain will start looking for those new things. And it takes a while. It takes focus over a number of weeks, sometimes months. Sometimes some people, it could take years, but once you get the hang of it, things will open up for in a more faster way. You know, the more you do it, the faster it goes. You know, what is that? I forget that word, but 1 + 1 is 2, 2 + 2 is 4. You know, you just build faster and faster and faster. Yeah, train your brain. Meditation.
Yeah, my brain feels like it's on extra fast speed.
Slow it down. And meditation is a really good thing. Do you guys meditate? Do you, because people run from that.
I do.
I guess there are times where I sit quietly and just have a either a focus on something or a focus on nothing. Like the intent is to completely clear my mind of anything.
Yeah. You know what I do? I've always had a real hard time meditating for forever, until somebody told me how to just sit. He called it sitting in the power. But basically, you sit down quietly and just focus on your breath. Breathe in through your nose and hold and gently breathe out. And then you ask your brain to keep focusing on your breath. And then I would just say, breathe in. I'm breathing in spirit. And I'm breathing out and blending in with spirit. And I did that for several months. And I actually changed how I participated in my meditation. It wasn't a struggle anymore. It was simply the mind focuses on the breath, and the breath is breathing in spirit. And that's it. Some really cool things are happening. Another way people who are having trouble sitting still and quieting your mind, because my mind just does not get quiet, is mala beads and repeating a prayer over and over and over and over again until you your mind just starts to hear that prayer. And then you blend into the prayer, and like thousands of people are saying this prayer, and then all of a sudden you can hear. So this is what happened to me. I could hear a bunch of people saying that prayer, and then I could feel the grace of the prayer, and then I felt the connection to a higher power through that prayer. And that repetitiveness of it relaxed my mind enough to let myself. And it's from your heart. It's a connection from your heart. It's not a connection from your mind. So if you're struggling with your mind and it's keep making a lot of noise, just go to your heart and say, thank you very much. You're there, but I'm focusing on my heart, and I'm focusing on my breath. Don't be discouraged. And if you can only last for 2 minutes, that's great. You last for 2 minutes, you know, get up and do something.
Right.
Exactly.
So that's something you encourage. You encourage people, your clients, to actually engage in some sort of meditation, I guess, in the beginning. It's shorter.
Yeah, every single client leaves with a meditation, because I start every session with a meditation, and according their readings are recording depending on, you know, what they purchased. They have that, and it's on my website. If you go to angelsgifts.net and you go under services, there is a page of meditations. Those are pretty close to the meditations I do in my sessions, and you can just listen to them and see how they work. But I tell you what, YouTube is full of meditations, and the point of it is just to calm down. Calm your thoughts down, get heart-centered, and let your alpha brain move from the beta busyness to more of an alpha realization. That's the most creative pulse. Our brain is always working, always working. And so the alpha wave is a very creative connection to source. And then when you go deeper into the alpha wave and you relax more and more, then there's the theta wave that is a very deep healing brain wave. So we don't, I mean, so our brain is still helping us. It's still working. We're just getting all the busy beta stuff set aside. So you're never going to achieve total quiet in your brain, but you can go to those different blendings of pace of, I don't want to say the word frequency, but the different waves that your brain has. And actually, it's really cool stuff. Some people were just, I forget who did this. I missed out on it. This fellow had this machine. He was put, you know, they connect, you can measure the brain waves. You put little things over your head, little caps. And so he was measuring the brain waves of mediums. And so before mediumship and then while they were doing mediumships, and the brain waves changed significantly. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So you could look that up maybe and Google it or something, but medium
right.
brain waves.
Is there? Do you know if there's a certain brainwave or a certain state that you have to be in order to connect with, I guess, those who have passed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we definitely have to go to a higher, what they say in class, you just have to raise your vibration, and then spirit is bringing their vibration down, so you're meeting halfway, and I feel that it's the beta theta waves that mediums are using. So that because those waves resonate from source, and we are always source is always with us. Source is always pulsing through our brains, through our bodies. So we have to move everything out of the way and find that place, that frequency. And it takes a lot of practice, a lot of development, and a lot of trusting, and and practice. So if a medium is bringing through wonderful messages, that medium has been working for a long time to get there. So respect your medium.
So, interesting question, Lori. So there's a guy that many of us are at least familiar with his name and some of his work by the name of Nikola Tesla. And while people know Marconi for the radio, it's Tesla who's really responsible for, wireless transmutation, and he's because of Tesla, Marconi was able to make his discovery. In fact, Marconi worked with Tesla, and they people who knew Tesla said they thought he was a little nutty when he said, "Hey, you see this box? It's possible, to make voices come through this. There are frequencies in the environment. You can make voices, sounds, music, whatever you want to play, come through this box." And we know that as the radio. Well, Tesla went on at some point and said he discovered that there really was a frequency where people who had died live on that frequency. And he said, "I think I can figure out how to make another box that I will be able to connect to the people who the frequency of people who have died, and they will literally be able to speak through this box." So it would be like a radio for contacting people in that frequency. And I think a lot of his funders pulled out when he started talking like that. They said, the radio idea sounded crazy, but this is out of control. So I'm out, like Shark Tank. I'm out. I won't support that. So when Lori was asking you about frequencies, Tesla was saying that that's what he had discovered.
Right. And he was trying to create something sensitive enough that could broadcast those frequencies, and those frequencies I think were supposed to be from spirit, from source, where we go to after we pass.
He said he figured out how to communicate with the dead, and they were just functioning. They operated on a frequency, and this new radio he was going to make was going to tap into that frequency, so the people who are on the other side would actually be able to communicate with you. I don't know how it works, but as long as he could tune into that frequency, they would speak to you through the radio. I guess you could buy your own personal radio and speak to your ancestors.
Well, wouldn't that be nice if we could do that?
People still working on that. What?
We just called you, Nancy.
Well, yeah. I've heard of this box, and people are still trying to make that box. So, and some have some success, and others, more than others. But yeah. Yeah, this is really.
It's funny, there was a Twilight Zone episode about that at one point, where the wife is sitting home and she hears him through the phone. He calls from, his grave. Pretty creepy, but true.
Oh, right, right.
So, that's very interesting.
Is that something you've ever been involved in?
When ghost hunters and stuff, they have all those kinds of equipment. It's just not my thing. I've seen it work. It's phenomenal. I'm fascinated with it. But I'm in a different branch of what I do.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. But,
super interesting.
All right.
So I guess I know you touched on this a little bit. We're all about entrepreneurs. And we're all about running a business. How do you think this can help you, a successful entrepreneur?
Well, there's on the personal level of plugging into source as opposed to fear and goals and moving forward and competition, which is all very important. Okay. And not take that away. But when you take your creativity and you hook it into source, when you learn to go there first. Your creativity and your will improve in your job, in your business,
mm-hmm.
and being able to the staying power, and then you mm-hmm. is longer. The capacity gets larger. So that's one way. And also having that relationship with your soul really will help you become clear about what you're doing in your business, and
mm-hmm.
What you want to achieve. And then the other last piece is where are you sabotaging yourself? Where are you not letting yourself thrive as you work with integrating? There's a lot of times you can have a relationship with money. That it's one of my personal little challenges is how do you feel about money and how do you think you deserve money and the flow of money? And then there's having the courage to have a new idea that is going to change a product or grow your business to a new place. Businesses, interestingly enough, once they're born, once you make them an LLC or once you really, this is the name of it, begin to have their own Akashic records. They have their own records that are embedded in source in that higher mind. So you can open up the records of your business to see what is the best thing for your business. And where it's flowing and what it's meant to do. I've done that a couple of times. It's fascinating that it has a mind or a life or an energy of its own or a projection of its own. And how do you nurture that business along is it one way that I've used the Akashic Records.
That's very interesting. I'll be calling you about that money thing in a couple of weeks.
Oh, hey.
We can unblock those challenges. This is usually valuable, too, because you would think, because it's not a person and it's an entity that it wouldn't have the Akashic Records, but because it's energy and it's what you're putting out there, that it would.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know too.
So it's
really
a study
of
energy.
That, exactly. Well, do you know that the United States of America has its own Akashic Records? And if you're a citizen of the U.S., you pay your taxes, you can open up the records of the United States of America, and you can see what the heck's going on. And there's some really cool stuff in there. And that's one of my favorite things to do with my students. On the 4th, when we get into July, I'm like, okay, we're opening up the records of the country. That's what's going on.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. And it's fun to open up now. It would be a really good time I actually should do a little workshop on it. Let's open up, like, so what's going on? What is the purpose? How are things flowing? What are the ancestors of this country have to say about this? And what is what does the country need? Is, you know, the country healthy? Maybe, the, you know, or is the country not healthy? Or, you know,
I'm sure many of us have our own answers to that question.
But wouldn't
it be cool
if you could go to, you know, to a higher source and hear what they have to say?
Right.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I've done that a few times, and that's when I found out about the viruses, and that's when I found out about the consciousness of this country is changing, and that it needs to go into a crisis before it can recognize its own self and say, this is not who I am, and or whatever. And I actually, I've been kind of kicking myself. I've been avoiding doing it because I've been so dismayed, and I think I need to get a little bit. You know, I'm just saying to myself, get over this because you really need to hear the big picture again.
Right.
But I do know there's a lot of stuff going on under the scenes, behind the scenes, and what we're seeing is deflective. What we're hearing is all deflective information to keep us from seeing what's really happening. I'm not going conspiracy theory on anybody. I just think that there's certain things happening within the dynamics of this country that are difficult to express. So there's a lot of, you know, making a big deal about nothing so everyone pays it. Look over here. Don't look over here and pay attention to this crazy thing over here. So you're not looking at the real thing. You know, and I'd like for, you know, us to kind of settle down with all of the antics and drama and start to see, so what's really going on? Why does this drama have to exist? So what's behind the curtain, like Wizard of Oz? What's behind the curtain, really? And you know, own it.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, they say the magician, you know, he says, watch my right hand, watch, and his left hand is under the table doing the trick, and you never see it because you're watching the
right
hand. So
that's kind of how, I am getting a feeling of that for a while. I really want to know what that other hand is doing. I don't want to know about it. As a matter of fact, I stopped listening to it so that I could focus on what's really happening underneath all of that. So, and I don't have an answer, I tell you right now. I'm trying.
Oh, that's where I was going with that.
I know. I was like, well, actually, here's the thing. Underneath what's happening and what I've been seeing is a huge economic change. That I feel like economics, there's people already working on the change that we're going to see in our system. And that's one of the things that I feel we need to look at as a collective group. What is money? What is the value of things? And what is our money that we exchange for buying things and making salaries and stuff? What does that money really mean? What's the value of it? And I feel, to me, that's the biggest thing that's happening in this country. And everyone's so busy thinking of these other things over here, so we are not looking at the economics of how we use trade and buy goods and what we're using for value. I mean, that's what I've been feeling over and over and over again. It won't stop.
Interesting.
I've even seen the I've seen the dollar bill
you
change color, change size, and it's a whole different system, and that's coming fairly quickly.
Wow. You're just walked into a whole nother paradigm, except we're running out of time. So
that's okay, because I don't want to I'm done talking about it.
Can you tell people how to get, if they want to contact you, how would they do that?
Yeah, so you can contact me through my website at angelscapes.net. You can write to me at nancy@angelscapes.net. And I'm offering a 15-minute session to go over what it is that I can, my products, what it is that I offer. I'll do a quick little, we'll pull some cards and see where you are. So write to nancy@angelscapes.net. You can find me on Facebook. Angelscapes with Nancy Smith is my business page, and the Nancy of Angelscapes is my personal page. So, and I have a couple of Soul Power Living, Create a Life You Want and Love is a nice group to join. And there's also Thank You and Grateful is a nice page to join if you want some
you know, just some inspiration. So those are lots of different ways.
Very cool. Very cool. This has been a great interview, very eye-opening, interesting, always great to see new perspectives. And I think sort of what you said, people need to look at things differently, right? And
yeah.
So you've done a great job at presenting that. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for having me on. And I'm like, I'm forgetting there's a lot of people listening to us right now. I'm like, what did I just say? But thank you for having me on. And
thank you
it's
for
been
joining
fun.
Us, Nancy.
Thank you, Lori.
It was definitely fun.
All right,
have a great night, everybody, and more for the Akashic Records on our next episode.
Terrific.
Great.
Talk to you soon.
Good evening, everyone. Take care. Thanks, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.